From coast to coast and around the world, this is Kaleidoscope, America's most exciting radio magazine. Stay tuned for more.
Hey, 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 welcome to the Dana Brinkland Radio Show for KCLA. I'm your host, Dana Brinkland, and today I have a special guest for you guys. I have a big, big, big surprise. But before I reveal who she is, let me tell you who she is. This lady is one of the most awesome spiritual beings I've ever met. She has inspired me to change my life. Actually, as a matter of fact, she has changed my life. Maybe that's because we're fellow Capricorns. So please give an awesome welcome to a beautiful soul in an ugly world. Actress, cyclist, and badass, Tracy Dinwiddie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm on the mend, so I'm feeling better. I'm excited to be healing.
Good, yeah. Good. I am so excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank
you. It's been a long time coming, huh?
Right, right. So let's start off. You know the reason why I brought you here. We're definitely going to get to that. But sure. I want to talk to you about your acting career first. A lot of people that listen to my show, they know you from Nicole Kahn's Elena Undone. Mm-hmm. But as I was researching you, I found credits all the way back to the early 90s. How long have you been acting, and when did you get your big start? Your big break?
Oh, that big break.
Right.
I don't know that I've had that big break yet, but I have been acting for, gosh, have I been acting for 2 decades?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean,
I
got started in the late 90s.
Okay.
Doing mid-90s, I guess, doing voiceover work for anime and... I started on set as Katie Holmes' stand-in on Dawson's Creek. So it was a very, very humble beginning.
Yeah, I did see Dawson's Creek. I did see a Dawson Creek credit. Now, were you, did you have a reoccurring role on there? Or you
no,
just
not at all. That's when I earned my SAG card, back when it was just so exciting to earn your SAG card. I got a one-liner, I think it was, so how's that pretty little gal of yours?
Very nice, very nice. So what would you, you say you don't think you've gotten your big break yet, so what would you say is the best part you've ever played, in your eyes?
Wow. The roles that I played they're pretty dynamic. I mean, everything from Mrs. Forrest to... you know, Lady Macbeth to Patsy Cline. You know, my stage time has been phenomenal in my early days in Wilmington, North Carolina. So I've never ever good at answering questions like what was your favorite or what was the best.
Okay.
I can say I've had an incredible experience playing Patsy Cline twice on stage and singing 26 of her songs and, you know, taking on a legendary musical icon like her grew me as an artist and certainly grew me as a singer, because I'm not a professional singer by any means, but I enjoy it very much. So that was a joy. That was a real, you know, great, lovely kick in the pants as an actor.
So when you were playing Patsy Cline, it was you actually singing. It wasn't...
Oh, it was me. It was all me. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And how did you... So speaking, going back to Elena Undone, how did you land that role as Peyton?
I think Jane Clark introduced me to Nicole and Marina.
Mm-hmm.
And they had heard wind of mine and Nicar's charisma or chemistry together in a short film that Jane had produced and directed called The Touch.
Mm-hmm.
And so she brought us in to read for Nicole and Marina together. And I read with several other women. I think I did more kissing one day than in my entire dating season.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
A very interesting audition.
Yeah, but yeah. So now you play the drums, you play the flute, and I come to find out just now that you actually sing a little bit too, and you were also the key member of the group Groove Goddesses. Mm-hmm. And for you guys out there, her Twitter name is Groove Goddess, so now I see where that came from.
Yeah.
So where's the Tracy Dinwiddie album?
I know, right?
Right.
I know. I've been flirting with the idea. I'm uh-huh. talking to some musical friends of mine. They have careers as musicians,
mm-hmm.
and a few are more doing it as a hobby, but I am flirting with this.
Wow.
I've got a few songs that I wrote, and mm-hmm. I've always wanted to present them with other artists and see what we could do, if we could flesh it out. And
okay.
I have such a love of storytelling, mm-hmm. and then add music to it. It's just the best.
Cool. Yeah. Well, you guys heard it here first. It might be a Tracy Dinwiddie album. So has your being an out artist affected the work you get, or the lack of work you get, or
I
don't get?
Don't know. I really don't know.
Do you think about it?
Not very often. Occasionally, I think I had gotten back from Italy. This was a couple of years ago with my partner, and in the audition, it had come up
mm-hmm.
that I referenced my girlfriend as my girlfriend, and
okay.
they did a double take,
uh-huh.
But I ended up booking that job. So I can't say that it's harmed me, but I don't know that I'll ever know that.
Did you make a whole big thing out of it like people do? They come out on award shows and TV shows and I'm gay. Did
right.
you ever make a big thing, or it was never a big deal?
In a drunken stupor on a tabletop in the back of a gay bar once, I think I did make a big deal out of it. But no, I have never really... I've never shouted to the rooftops. Maybe, you know, once or twice on a special Pride Day have I, you know, just put it out there really plain and simple for people to see. But
mm-hmm.
I've always been just one to kind of fly under the radar when that's concerned. Early on, you know, when I went to the Supernatural conventions, it was never asked, so mm-hmm. I never really answered. You know, like
right.
it's not like something I felt like I had to stand on a pedestal and explain. I appreciate and I applaud people, you know, Sam, you know, Michael Sam, who came out recently.
Right.
I think that it's a political season for mm-hmm. that. I think that we are having really strong forward movement as an LGBT community, and we're slowly... I don't even know if it's slowly, but it's like we're building momentum toward
right.
really truly wiping out the laws which are unfair and
right.
unjust, and you know, and then I'm sure years from then on we'll be working on just building relationships and seeing that all people are made of an intrinsic goodness, inherent goodness,
right?
And hopefully we'll just get along a little bit
right.
better.
It'll be a different kind of world where it won't
yeah.
be such a big deal.
Yeah, I hope so.
Right.
Although I wonder, you know, sometimes if you don't have a soapbox to stand on, what do you do next? You know, if you're not fighting for a cause,
it'll be something new to
purpose.
Fight for.
Yeah, I would hope.
Right.
I hope it'd save this earth.
Right.
Have you seen the movie WALL-E? It's
no. Well, you're talking about the one that's W-A-L-L and then E?
Yeah.
No, I still haven't seen it.
Oh,
I know it's
gosh.
Something that I need to see,
yeah.
but I haven't seen it yet.
I can't believe it's taken me all these years to see this movie. And
you just saw it recently?
I did. I you know, in my sickness, I
mm-hmm.
took a little downtime and I watched this film, and it's so poignant, so incredibly poignant. And for kids,
wow.
I think it's very entertaining, but
right.
It truly is eye-opening about how much we're caught up in our cell phones and our computers and cut off from each other.
I have to watch it. Is it
nature.
On Netflix?
I don't know, but I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a much older
yeah,
film.
It is.
It's like
at least 10 years old.
5 to 10. Yeah, yeah, 5 to 10 years old. I don't know. Hmm. I can't remember when it exactly came out. But yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I think that's a cause, you know, like where people could really come together. All colors, all ages, mm-hmm. all sexual orientations.
Right.
And just plant a seed.
Save the planet. Have you heard, speaking of save the planet, we're just jumping all over the place. I'm supposed to be asking questions. Right. Have you heard Michael Jackson had a poem. It's called Planet Earth. Have you ever heard that?
I'm
just
sure
a poem. He's just talking. No singing, no dancing.
No, well, I don't think so then. If he's just...
Okay.
If it's spoken word.
No. You'll hear it, you'll hear it soon.
Okay.
Real soon. Okay. So have you ever played a straight woman in a romantic relationship in a movie or a TV series? Or?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. And I don't know that there's much difference.
No.
Really. No. I mean, except for that one time where I had to kiss a guy who smelled like mothballs. That was pretty gnarly. Oy, oy, oy.
Wow.
Yeah, like I think, I don't.
So it would be just like a straight woman playing a lesbian who has to kiss a woman, I guess. No big deal.
Sure, sure. Right. I mean, I don't think that you have to be gay to play gay.
Right.
And I don't think otherwise. I think a lot of people forget, even though I'm in a long-term lesbian relationship, and I identify as lesbian or bi, whichever, but I've loved a man, too.
Right, well,
genuinely.
Most lesbians have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that, you know, kicks me out of the lesbian club or not, but I...
You'd be hard-pressed to find a lesbian who hasn't been in a relationship
with
a man. Right.
Yeah, I think that there's a reason why a rainbow represents us.
Right.
That there are just so many varying degrees of love and what we're capable of as human beings. And I think it's more about who you connect with and
right.
who you feel like you can grow with as a human being that
exactly.
makes a good partner, you know?
Right. I think I surprised my mom the other day because I've never said this on my show, but whatever. I identify as a lesbian, but I was talking to her the other day and I said to her that I think gay people are just as ridiculous as straight people because everybody wants to label something.
Sure.
And I don't... Okay, so if you're a lesbian, you can't do this. If you're straight, you can't do this. You can fall in love with whoever you fall in love with.
Right.
Sorry about that, people. We just had a little funny moment
I had a
here.
Microphone.
Yeah, we need a camera in here. But I think, seriously, I think straight people are, I mean, gay people are just as ridiculous as straight people because, if you do this, then you're not straight. If you do, or a lesbian, if you do this, you're not. And that's just stupid.
Yeah.
All the labels, you love whoever you love.
I think it's a human thing. I have those instincts where I want to label something because the mystery is sometimes harder to embrace.
Right.
And it helps me feel like I've got some sense of control by understanding something by, you know, like labeling it is some form of control. It's some form of
that's what
comfort
it is.
Right,
for right,
people.
Right. Comfort, you know? And control.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a tricky little thing to let go of those habits and let the colors be the colors that they are and
right.
and watch them as a kaleidoscope because they shift.
Yeah.
People shift, they change.
Exactly. They do all the time.
Yeah.
So I know you guys are enjoying this, but we have to pay bills, so we're going to take a break and we will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Double your pleasure, double your fun.
That's the statement of the great myth.
Double mint gum.
Double your sentiment, your merriment. Double your moment of fun. Double your delightment with the right mint. For refreshment, it's the only one.
Double your pleasure, double your fun.
That's the statement of the great myth.
Double mint gum.
My My friend John and I think the road rules. We've got lots of ideas on where to go. Unfortunately, we're a little low on bucks. I'm thinking we're going nowhere fast. Then John found out about this Greyhound 2-for-1 companion fare. We can go just about any place, anytime, and we only pay for one ticket. Two for the price of one. And there's no hassles, because we only have to buy our ticket 3 days before we go. So John, if you're listening, I got one thing to say. You the man.
The Greyhound 2-for-1 companion fare. Call now for details. Special conditions apply.
Hello, Pringles 800 number.
Yeah, hi. You made a mistake with my Pringles.
Sir?
See, it says fat-free on the can, but they don't taste fat-free.
Sir, if it says fat-free original Pringles, that's what they are.
Listen, talk to my wife. Blanche!
Yeah, hi. You made a mistake.
No, ma'am. Fat-free Pringles are made with Olean. That's why they taste just as good with no fat and half the calories.
No way. I know when it's missing that fakey no-fat taste. Listen, I'll mail you one. You taste it.
New fat-free Pringles. Tasting is believing.
Hey, what's that on your chin? And there's something on your nose. Actually, there's stuff all over your face. Don't worry, it's not crumbs from a late afternoon cupcake. It's the gunk left by your not-so-cleansing cleanser. See, Biore cleansers don't just move dirt around your face. Biore gets rid of dirt. The Biore Dirt Lock system surrounds oil and makeup so they rinse away completely, leaving absolutely clean skin. So wash your face with Biore cleansers and smile. Just check for spinach in your teeth. Biore. Clean. Honest.
Hey, welcome back to the Dana Franklin Radio Show for KCLA. We're really having way too much fun in here. So, okay.
We're in Dana's closet.
Yeah, it might as well be. Jesus Christ, it's very small, tiny in here.
I'm sitting on her lap.
We need a camera, seriously. Okay, now back to your drunken stupor.
Oh, and that.
Yeah. No, not to that. But that was interesting. So now you told me once, okay, you just told us. Now, how long have you been sober?
I'm coming up on 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? This is not the question, but why did you do that? Was it out of control or?
Yeah, I break out when I drink.
Mm-hmm.
I break hearts and laws and windows.
Oh, that's the way you break out. Okay. Thinking of, she's talking about her skin. Okay.
No, I'm just a jerk when I drink.
I'm a jerk when I drink tequila.
Yeah.
So I don't drink tequila anymore.
Hard.
Yeah. I probably stopped drinking tequila about maybe 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't drink tequila at all. I turn into another person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It changes me, too. And I did too much of it early, you know, as a kid, pretty much. And I was just avoiding my feelings.
Okay.
Responsibility, and
that's usually why people drink or smoke or whatever they do.
I was socially shy. I still feel socially shy, but I don't know, building my spiritual muscles, I feel stronger, more brave and more courageous, even though I have that tendency to be shy and awkward. I've learned to accept it and just flow with it,
right,
instead of get a fix to try to be something I'm not, you know?
Yeah. So, now you told me once that you smoked before. You smoked cigarettes before.
And other things.
But, yeah, haven't we all?
Yeah.
But, and then, of course, you drink. Now, how and when? Well, you just told me kind of how. But when would you become the Tracy that I know? The vegan, the non-smoker, the non-drinker, the fitness guru. When did you become this person?
Just a hoity-toity bore.
She's not boring, people. She's not boring at all.
Well, thanks.
But how did you come to this person?
Okay, first, I'm not a vegan. I did eat as a vegan for a couple of years, but I'm a pescatarian, so I eat vegetarian. I do have some dairy and fish.
Okay.
So,
and you're a what?
Pescatarian.
Yeah. Okay.
So like pesky is fish.
Okay.
So you would add fish to mostly vegetarian.
Okay.
Foods.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'd say like peeling an onion. I've landed where I am today. It's been a process.
Right.
Not an easy one either. You know, I got sober on April 20th of 2000.
Okay.
And clean, off drugs. So, and then a year later, I ruptured a disc in my neck when I was dancing on a movie set and had to quit smoking. Or it was recommended I quit smoking so that mm-hmm. the bone could, fuse together
okay.
more easily, because cigarettes and all the toxins in it would cause it not to heal as well.
Right.
So I gave it up cold turkey. But then I,
oh, wow.
you know, once I moved to Los Angeles, probably within that first year of being here, I relapsed on a prop cigarette. I just smoked it one lonely afternoon.
Right.
And thought it was a good idea. And I became a fiend all over again. And I was in so much denial that I would bum cigarettes off of bums. Literally. Like, just... I wouldn't buy a pack, because mm-hmm. if I bought a pack, then I was a smoker.
That means you're a smoker,
yeah,
right.
It's just the crazy.
No, I did that.
In our minds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I battled with that the same time I started to really look at food and how I was using food to either, you know, drift away and disappear, you know, through anorexia, or overeat and binge eat and try to control my feelings through other things. It's like, you know, addiction is such a whack-a-mole kind of
mm-hmm.
Experience. At least recovery is for me. You knock one down and other things come up. And I think the only way that I've been able to abstain from certain things like sugar and flour and drugs and alcohol, which I believe alcohol is a drug, is I just have, that's my bottom line. No matter what, mm-hmm. I will not consume or use those things.
Wow.
And if I don't do that, then my head is always above water. Mm-hmm. And if I practice spiritual principles to the best of my ability,
mm-hmm.
then I'll float.
Wow.
You know, then I've got a swimming chance to
right.
learn how to live this life, you know. And I've never been let down by a spiritual principle, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never woken up the next day wishing I had eaten sugar and flour or gotten lit
no,
up. You know?
I don't think that's going to happen.
So it's, yeah, it's a good life. It's mm-hmm. not like I'm missing out on having fun or.
No, you're way more clear
oh,
when
yeah.
you do that. Before we go from this show, I want to definitely get a little something in about AIDS life cycle.
Oh, please.
Guys, don't worry that we didn't talk that much about it on this one. This is a two-part interview, and the podcast is actually going to be an hour long, so
yay.
you won't be cheated. So you're, well, we call you a health nut, but you said you still have fun. So, and you're an AIDS life cycle team captain. So how did you get involved with ALC? How and when?
I had first heard about AIDS life cycle through a spiritual mentor, and she was a roadie
okay.
on this, and she just sung its praises. And I've had many friends that I've lost to AIDS, and I witnessed one of my very best friends
mm-hmm.
try to rebuild his life after losing his partner, and it was devastating for him and so many around him. And I have friends who are clients of the center,
mm-hmm.
and when my partner joined their staff, it was like I had lost a friend the year before who had lived his final days with AIDS,
mm-hmm.
And then my partner joined the staff, and it just was like so many things pointing in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have as much work at the time, and I thought this sounds like a great physical challenge,
right.
a beautiful charity.
Mm-hmm.
They were highly rated. I really wanted to support my partner. I wanted to make her look good, you know?
Exactly.
I wanted to bring up the game and
right.
And make her proud. And so I endeavored to do so. I hopped on a bicycle, something I hadn't done in years and years and years, learned how to clip in and out and
right.
fundraise.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so... Were you... You weren't a captain your first year.
I was, actually.
You were.
I, not...
A team captain.
Yes, but it was more like I was doing this thing and I thought, well, I'll crack open the door and see if there's anybody, you know, fans or otherwise, that have an interest.
Right.
But I didn't go out and seek teammates. I just said, hey, I'm doing this thing. It's really unique. I'm really learning a lot. I'm growing. Do you want to join in, feel free.
Right.
And I asked people to set their goals really high. And mm-hmm. we had a very small team and a beautiful team. Pam Johnson was on that team, and she okay. was a roadie last year. And Tammy Klein and Nancy Herman, she rode.
Mm-hmm.
And Don Borak came on as a roadie. It was just a small little nest of us that did this thing together.
Wow.
And it turned out to be a really beautiful challenge.
How many people did you have on your team last year?
I think it was 6 of us.
That's all?
Yeah.
Wow. Gee whiz. Okay.
Yeah.
And why do you think your excitement for ALC transfers over to other people? Like, you, when I first tried to get you to come on my show, you started talking to me about this thing, and I'm like, what is this lady talking about? So of course I went and researched it. I'm like, okay, so I have to do this just to get her on my show. Okay, let me go check it out, see what this is. And so I looked, and I was, god, that's a lot of work. That seems, I don't know about this. Like, I asked you again, then you asked me again. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, well, I'll check it out again. And now I'm just, I talk to people about it, and it's just like, I'm just ridiculously excited about this. And of course, somebody was excited about it when they told you, and you were excited about it when you told me, and it just trickles. Why do you think that is?
Well, one, I think it's authentically a good experience for mm-hmm. most people, even though it's challenging.
Right.
I've seen you in the midst yes. of those challenges, physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Right.
Because it's a beautiful cause. Mm-hmm. It's got integrity and fun, and it grows you as a human being. And I think people are naturally attracted to something that will make them just better.
Right.
And it allows so many people another chance at life.
Right, right.
It really is life-enhancing care that they give at the LA Gay and Lesbian Center, and to know that some of my friends, my beautiful, beautiful friends, are walking into that space and given the medication, the counseling, and all that they need so that they can be well and live a long, happy, healthy life. It's phenomenal. It's a wonderful feeling.
Right. It is. Definitely is. So before we sign off, give them some information about you or ALC, where they can find information on you. And for you guys out there listening somewhere else, we're not actually leaving. This is for the broadcast in March. But give them some information about you.
Sure. You can always go to my website, TracyDinwiddie.com. And if you would like, you're welcome to join Dana Brinklin and my team called Team Goodisness. And you can go to my website and then /ALC. So it's TracyDinwiddie.com/ALC. And you can click on Join Tracy's Team under my fundraising photo. And use Goodisness, GOODISNESS, in all caps. And you'll get a discount to join us, and you can become a roadie, a virtual cyclist, or an actual cyclist, and ride the 545 miles from San Francisco to Los Angeles with us.
Do it. All right, you guys, thank you guys for being here. Thank you for listening to the Dana Brinklin Radio Show, and I will see you next week. Be blessed. Later. Okay. So, for all of you still listening at DanaBrinklin.com, we're still here for you. Okay, so the next question I have for you is, this is your second ride from, as you said, San Francisco to Los Angeles, 545 miles, 7 days. What was that like, your very first ride last year, right?
Yes, okay. Last year I rode for AIDS Life Cycle, and I think I ended up doing 546 miles because I got lost on day two. Oh, it was such a mess. I was so tired, and I could not get my tent packed up in time, and I just was floundering. And bless Jason, he came over, he saw me. I was the last one, you know, like the sea of tents were gone, and I was the third to last to get out of camp.
Mm-hmm.
And a fellow came over and helped me pack up the rest of my tent, and I was in tears, just freaked out, thinking I'm going to get, you know, sagged before I ever get to leave. And Sure enough, though, I got on my bike and I found my way and cycled my little tuchus all the way off to finish the ride that day. It was 109 miles. And,
wow.
And I caught up to the people and was out of that, that area where you could actually get swept. It's where the caboose, which is just Marnie, our cycle rep, Marnie, who's riding in the caboose and picking people up who might be straggling, or struggling to get the mileage in.
But right.
I made it through. But anyway, I added a few extra miles on that day because I was lost. I couldn't see through my tears.
Aw, poor baby.
I know. Feel sorry for me.
Right.
You ever play the wine and coup game?
No.
It's like, it's a great exercise with your partner.
Okay.
You can, like, if you're having a poo-poo day and you say, I just want to do the whine and coo. Uh-huh. And so, like, if you whine, if you say just something awful, just say something, like, just something that's really bothering you.
The day sucked or,
yeah. Oh, no, it did. Oh, my goodness. You had a horrible day? That's horrible. And I just coo you for 5 minutes.
Okay.
And then we switch.
hey, we all need that. I like that.
Isn't it?
Yes, yeah. We need that. So, what kind of shape were you in before you decided to do the AIDS Life Cycle Ride? Before you started training, what kind of shape were you in? It seems like you probably were in pretty good shape anyway, because you weren't drinking, you weren't smoking, and you were eating pretty well.
Yeah. I had a leg up for sure, and
right.
I was practicing trapeze pretty regularly, so my body was pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more upper body and core.
Okay.
Because you're having to lift your body weight into pikes and upside down and, wind around on ropes.
Right.
But with cycling, it's a whole different ballgame. I'm grateful for the upper body strength, holding your body up and keeping that core nice and tight and strong as you carry those miles into
right.
your shoulders. But I'd never seen my quadriceps rip into the three part,
mm-hmm.
like you see it in those bodybuilders.
Right, right.
You're like, holy freak, that's crazy. And they did. Like, I actually saw the partitions in my muscles.
Right.
Things I'd never seen on my body before.
Wow.
And I was strong. And I remember when I kind of upped my game from the granny gear,
mm-hmm.
That smaller gear on the bike.
I heard about that.
And then I moved to the higher gear and I started working with this and I felt it. I felt like the fire in my strength moving me at a faster pace where I was doing like an 11 mile an hour average. I was up to 17 miles an hour and then 18 miles an hour and then 20 miles an hour. And it swiftly increased because I was training regularly with AIDS Life Cycle training rides.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how often did you train during the week?
My training buddy, Tamara, gosh, I miss her so much. We actually started, I think it was late February or March, we started hanging out and training. So we'd do some midweek,
okay.
and we'd hit up Nichols, Nichols Canyon.
Okay.
We'd do that a lot in
Yikes.
Holland.
Uh-huh.
So much that it was like our thing. It was just, we'd hit Nichols and then go on with our day.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we'd do that. And a couple of times.
I want to be you when I grow up.
Garbage Truck Hill was another one we'd do.
Okay.
And then we'd add on Saturday and Sunday, back to back rides with different teams.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. It's great to build up to. I wouldn't recommend everyone doing that many mileage.
Right.
But you could do smaller back to back rides and that'll actually propel you further along than doing one fell swoop, a hard ass ride, and you can't even walk the next day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I know we talked about this a little bit, but it's great for those listening who are interested in riding. It's a good pointer.
Right.
Less is more in this fact when you're training for endurance.
Okay.
Doing, a 20-mile ride one day and a 20-mile ride the next day would benefit you more than doing a 40-mile ride in one day.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
If you're building, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever, well, for all I know, you probably are, but have you ever thought about being a motivational speaker?
I have. I mean, I've thought about all this stuff, and
uh-huh.
It's like, I guess it's just first things first. you know, I would love to be making movies. I'd love to be working on a set on a television show.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, I just felt like I needed to form a team this year and take last year's experience to the next level. I really wanted to rally the troops
mm-hmm.
and have that experience. And I feel like that is motivational speaking. I mean, you know, talking
about
right. AIDS life cycle and getting people on board to become fit, to have fun,
mm-hmm.
to be more playful and adventurous, and to help other people, to be of service, to be a leader. I think that is kind of a motivational job.
Right, exactly. And you're kind of like a spokesperson too, or are you?
For ALC. Unofficially.
Unofficially.
Yeah. I mean, I think anybody, you are. You're a spokesperson for AIDS Life Cycle.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of experience to share.
Right.
Did you tell everybody about your tough ride and how you came out?
Everybody who?
Everybody who's listening. They should know. Listen up.
No, I haven't told them.
Dana hit rock bottom after that ride last week.
It was last week.
We did Nichols. It was a hell hilly ride.
That was awful.
But you did 11 miles.
Yeah, I did.
And you did the hardest part of Nichols, which is the beginning.
Yeah.
Which is like a really steep, relentless climb. And there's
mm-hmm.
two parts to it.
Yeah.
You got to that second part at the
right.
stop sign before you hang a right.
And yeah, and then I just couldn't. I just couldn't go anymore.
But you right. did that. And then yesterday, what did you mm-hmm. do?
Oh, yesterday was awesome.
See?
I'm so proud of myself for yesterday. Because what was it, 28 miles?
28 miles.
Yeah, and the first time I did the 28 mile, I'd never been a cyclist before, like I said in my story for lesbian.com. The only thing I know about bikes is pedaling, stopping, and starting. That's it. That's all I know about a bike. And the first time I did the 28 mile ride from Santa Monica to Malibu, I probably stopped in all maybe 40 times. Hell, I don't know. It was a lot.
Yeah.
And yesterday I stopped 2 times.
See.
2 times. I stopped once because the only reason why I stopped that one time is because all the lights were green and I wanted some water. I wasn't tired. It was just, what the hell? Can we get a stop sign, please? A red light, something? And we couldn't get it. So I finally just said, you know what? I got to stop and I got to drink some water. And then we kept going. It was another time I had to stop. Well, I'd stopped 3 times, really, because I stopped twice. And then the only reason why I couldn't get up the hill. Now, the first time I did the hill on Ocean, but I had to stop 5 or 6 times. Yesterday, I had already exerted so much energy on PCH that by the time we got to the hill, I was just out of it. I couldn't
sure.
go anymore. So I carried my bike up the hill. And then as soon as we got to the hill, I started riding again.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time when we... The first time when you get on San Vicente, you're at 4th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember them saying, we're going to turn right on 23rd. And I'm like, oh, my God, Jesus Christ. So we're not going to go. And it's a very slight incline all the way from 4th to 23rd.
Yeah.
And the first time, I'm like, I can't do this. And so I just kept stopping. And I'd never pushed myself to do anything physically.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, trying to learn how to sing, I pushed myself to sing. But to physically do something, I've never, when I'm tired, I'm tired. I don't want to do it anymore.
But you kept
and,
going.
Right. And yesterday, I just said, you know what? I'm not going to stop. I'm going to ride all the way to 23rd. I don't care if I start cycling slow as ever, like a snail. I'm just not going to stop. And it was great. It was great.
See?
So, but the show's not about me.
Yes, but you are. It is about you too. And your story is so important because it shows the progression, you know. You
right.
had a tough beginning and mm-hmm. then you had that 11 miles of climbing.
Yeah.
You did that. You did that and that strengthened you for the next round.
People, that ride was 35 miles. I did 11.
That's okay.
She's been praising me for the 11 miles for a week.
I'm excited to see you grow and shine even more.
I think
it's going to be an amazing experience for you.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool, and I've been celebrating. I mean, I get angry because I'm one of those. I'm a perfectionist, so I get extremely angry and just beat up on myself. But then every now and then, I'll just throw myself a bone, like, hey, that was pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah, like I was getting dressed this morning, and I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, so that love handle is gone. That one's still there, but that one's gone. So, you know, you have one part of your body that'll lose faster, like maybe the right side.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
loses faster than the left side. Right. Yeah. So that's with me. I'm like, oh, okay, so I don't see anything over here. Something over here, but it's nothing over there.
You'll
so.
Notice. Yeah, your yeah. body's going to shift. The curves will shift to different places now that you're strength training and endurance training.
Right, yeah. right. And thanks for the Arnicare, too. That
you're
stuff
welcome.
Is awesome. So shout out to Arnicare.
Right on.
So back to you. If you seem so, you're so passionate about ALC. If writing for ALC paid as well as acting, but you could only do one, what would you choose?
Ooh.
Or could you?
I don't think I could live without being a performer. I love the arts right. so much.
So you probably love them the same? You
what
think?
Do you mean?
They're tied up. You love
yeah,
writing
yeah.
and
I mean
and
I think that it's just an impossible
right.
answer. I'll always
I could see that.
I'll do it all.
Right, right.
To the best of my ability,
I can't choose.
Have fitness and outdoor time, and I need to be of service,
mm-hmm.
And I need to be among my friends and like-minded and like-hearted people, and I also
need to perform.
Yeah, I need to perform. And if I don't, poor Kristen, my partner, she tolerates the characters that show up in,
right.
in our home.
Oh, wow.
She's like, uh-oh, you need an audience. I'm like, yes, please. And I just give her a show. Little characters that like to play.
Right.
Yeah, she has names for all of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That must be interesting. So, speaking of ALC, to explain to the people, well, you kind of did earlier why they should donate to ALC, but you pretty much nailed that. But do you have anything else you want to say about why people should donate to us?
I would say we would love to have your support so that we can keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't know someone who is living with HIV/AIDS, it's possible they are. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think I'm confusing myself and you. Two things. One, even if you're not passionate about helping someone who has HIV/AIDS, help us because you like us and you want to see us happy, and this makes us happy.
I love it.
It makes us happy being of service.
Right.
It makes us happy helping other people. And the other part is you most likely do know somebody and they may not even know, and that AIDS does not discriminate, and that the numbers have gone up in women and children, and this is a global thing. And the more we talk about it, the more we break down the stigma, and get tested.
Right.
Get tested. Donate so that people can get tested, because that's part of prevention.
Right.
The youth program is also actively educating them so that they will not get AIDS
mm-hmm.
in the future. What else? Gosh.
That's pretty good.
So much. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Okay. It's hot in here. Did it get hot
yeah,
in here?
Yeah, it is hot in here.
I suddenly noticed 10 degrees of heat.
All right.
I'm
well,
stripping down.
It's too small. I'm getting a striptease here. Now, I met a lot of writers recently who know you, but they didn't know you were an actress. A lot of them didn't. So how do you explain, how are you such a humble person in such a plastic field? The field that you work in is very plastic, fake place to be, and you're not one of those people. How do you do that?
Well, I mean, I try really hard to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
I still hide my feelings sometimes, but yes, I know what you're saying. I know what mm-hmm. you're saying. Gosh, I just recently
and I think people know that too. They know that about you. The people that do no, you're an actress. No, that they're like, wow, you know, that's really, there's so many people that were sending me private messages about your interview. Like, wow, she's really one of the cool people. You know, she's actually a real person. And it's awesome to see in such a fake and phony world. It's, you know, Hollywood is just really fake and plastic, and you're not one of those people.
It can be. It really can be. I was going to say, like, I had a director-producer friend of mine call me right before my birthday. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if she knew it was my birthday, but she said something to me, like, you could be a star. You really are star quality. What are you doing walking around in rainbow toe socks and, you know, and doing this little bicycle thing? And what are you doing, like... just listing the things that I do. Right. And I said, well, I you know, it's a great question. It is it's an honest, valued question. Thank you. And I do ask myself sometimes, am I making myself too available? And there are times when I feel so tugged on and, you know, people seek me out in odd ways, mm-hmm. or poke at me in odd ways just to see if they could get a rise out of me.
Right.
That's hard. That's really hard because I am human. But I get so much out of being of service, and I'd much rather be grounded and wear rainbow socks and be a star. And I think, you know, just like the challenge of raising, like the challenge of raising $100,000 last year, I didn't know if I could do it, but I wanted to, I made it my goal.
Right.
And the same with this year. I wanted 100 teammates, and I want us to reach 300,000, and I want us to have a great time, shenanigans, love, focus, fun, all of it.
Right.
And just setting that goal has grown us as
a group. That's not the kind of stuff stars do.
And so what I was going to say with the stars with stardom, I'll maybe most people don't think that that's the path to get to it, to be that person who gets to choose the roles she would like to play.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like that challenge. Right. I want to be a person who is grounded, who is of service, who is connected to community, wears toe socks and rainbows and mustaches,
right,
and makes amazing movies.
Right, right.
And so, you know,
you're a superstar to us.
Hey, thanks.
But, right, right. You're a superstar to a lot of people. But it's just that you're so grounded. You're just so grounded, which a lot of people aren't, that are even, you know, at the level that you are. It's funny because you find that a lot of times the artist that isn't as big and well known is more of a jerk than the person that is more well known.
Yeah, I think it's varying degrees. Like, I have some friends who are, you know, way up there.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple A-list friends and B-list, if you will, you know, like, based on that industry jargon. And some of them feel like they have to hide their age, and they have to only show up at certain parties, and they can't be seen in certain places, and others who have to leave out the back door just to get somewhere so they don't get paparazzi'd. And, you know, like, I don't know that I want that. I already feel a tug in my tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of, you know, public
feminism. I hear what you're same here, and I'm nowhere near where you are, and it's already too much. It's constantly want something.
When you're in a public forum and nobody means harm, I don't, you know, rarely does someone really mean harm. It's just that they don't realize that there are 30 other people after them all at, you know, within a 10-minute period that are wanting something from you. And then hundreds more in another situation. It's just an odd thing because it's not real. I mean, I'm good at pretending. I'm a good actor. I really think I'm a good actor, and I could be so much better. I'd love to do some more stuff and really work my skills.
Right.
But it doesn't mean like I'm, you know, I'm some icon, or I'm no better than anybody else, and I'm no worse either. Right. You know, and I like to stay in that realm. It keeps me sober. It keeps me, you know, practicing humility, and it keeps me connected to humanity,
right,
to life. So I'd rather stay there than to be lonely. I don't want to be in that extreme loneliness and sickness that I feel imprisoned by my own expectations of stardom.
Yeah, that's a sad way
celebrity.
To live.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to the trapeze stuff because we didn't talk about that very much. When did you get into that?
That was, oh gosh, that was almost 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. I was thinking this was something from high school or something. Started doing that.
Yeah.
Why?
I was, another challenge. I just thought, whoa. Actually, Drea Weber was a huge inspiration for me.
Okay.
And Eric Newton, who is now on our team.
Oh, wow.
Eric Newton and Tia Matza are Team Goodisness mates now. I tried to get Drea. She may still jump on board. You never know.
Right.
Anyway, I was in a troupe called the Actors Gang, and we did a show, a Christmas show, where we had a hodgepodge of like circus acts, and Eric Newton was doing a trapeze act, and so was Drea. Drea and I shared a dressing room.
Okay.
And we talked about trapeze, and she said, you know, Eric teaches, and so I hunted him down and started classes. And fell in love. I mean, just literally head over heels.
Wow.
In love with this art. It's like, it's dance, it's strength training, it's gymnastics, it's adventurous, it's poetic. It's just, it lights me up. It really lights me up.
It looks fun.
It is. It is. It's hard. I remember hanging on to that trapeze bar the first time and just tempoing where you swing forward and back.
Right.
And thinking, I don't think I can do this.
Right.
You know, just like in paddling, you know.
Exactly.
I don't think I can clip in and out and get up a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, now I'm like flipping all over that thing and choreographing stuff in my mind to music in my car. And
wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, I think we might be having to wrap up. So, you know what I want you to explain to the people? I know why you named the group that, but I want you to tell everybody why did you name your group Team Goodisness?
Oh, gosh. You know, hindsight is 2020. I realize that it's not an easy name to pronounce for some people. And it's such a simple premise. Good is
business. Right.
Yeah. Good isness. It's a term I used way back when I first got sober, and I was talking about isness and presence, basically. And really what it means to me is just being present with the goodness in myself and the goodness in others.
Mm-hmm.
And I named the team that because I'm just feeling strongly like we use that, you know, it's become a community term for us. By my sharing it with others, they've taken it on themselves and they like it.
Right.
It makes them feel good. They understand it. That it's become their own part of their lifestyle and their poetry of life living. And so I just was drawn to it and thought maybe it would be a neat thing to play with.
Right. I love it.
No, thank you. I had planned on some health and fitness retreats down the line and was even working with Sweet, but Sweet unfortunately went bankrupt recently, so we'll see what comes of it, but perhaps some goodness retreats through a different vehicle will manifest.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah,
I like the idea of that. So what's next for you? What do you have on the horizon?
Raven's Touch, I think, will come out sometime at the top of this year.
Okay.
I know they were aiming for March, but I'm not sure. I'll have to check in with Marina Andrea. And as far as acting goes, you know, I'm auditioning regularly. I don't know when the next booking will happen.
Okay.
But I still am, you know, penning some things and... And perhaps after this experience with AIDS Life Cycle and Team Goodisness, I will probably take a break and really focus on producing my own thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So at the end of June, I may curtail my social media obsession.
Oh, no. She's going to leave us.
Not leave. But just pull back a slight bit so I can bring something to you. So I can really, really focus and and put my all into it.
Okay.
And see what I can make.
You know? Sounds good. Sounds Does good. It? Yeah.
You in?
Sure.
All right. You are. You're such a team player.
My very, very, very last question. I ask everybody this. It's always interesting to hear their answer. What would you tell a Tracy Dinwiddie 20 years ago? What kind of advice would you give her for the next 20 years that she's going to see? Do you mind if I tell your age?
No, not
okay, so you were 20 years ago. What would you tell her? What kind of
Which
advice
means
would you
I'm
give her?
40.
Right.
I'm 40.
Hey.
I know.
The big 4-0.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Did I blow up the sound meter there?
Probably, finally. I've been blowing it up. We wanted you to do that. So, yeah, finally. I'm excited about 40. Well, now I asked you a question. I'm talking all over you.
You can talk about
but
it.
But since I was so sick as a kid and so sick as an adult,
yeah.
I always said that by the time I'm 40, I'm going to be in the best shape of my life. And then I meet you at 38, and which I figured would probably take about at least two years to get into the kind of shape that I want to be. So I'm actually excited about 40, where most people dread it. I'm so looking forward to 40.
I couldn't wait actually to get here.
Right.
I felt like I just needed to start a fresh decade.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it because
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you look terrific. You are shining and
thank you.
I think it's brilliant. Like even since the first time you took on the resolution ride and you were doing service work
to
this point here, I can see it.
Wow.
I can totally see your shift.
Pretty cool.
And it's not like you had a bad place you were coming from, but it's just like you find out it's limitless
mm-hmm.
how much you can grow and
right.
shine more and more when you are taking such good care of yourself and helping other people at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking care of other people really makes you feel good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the advice for the 20-year-old Tracy?
I can't help but think of the 20-year-olds that might be out there listening.
Mm.
And I would say, you know, there's so many things I would say. Like, I could just sit down Indian style and chit-chat all night about
That would
life.
Be a treat for Wouldn't a 20-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Come on, let's go find Justin Bieber and you guys hang out and talk for all night.
Oh, man.
Guarantee he'd be a new person in the morning.
I would just... You know, I have used this phrase so much, but it's really true. I just ask them what lights you up, what mm-hmm. lights you up, and dance your way to it, run to it, cycle to it, swim to it. Just follow it, because that is where you will live your life the most fully, the most authentically, and nothing else will matter.
Hmm.
Nothing else.
Cool. Yeah. I love that advice. Hmm. I love it. That's what I would say, too.
Ditto.
Okay, you guys. So this has been my guest, Tracy Dinwiddie, actress, cyclist, just all around great person. So thank you guys for listening to the Dana Brinklin Radio Show for KCLA. I'll see you guys next week. Be blessed.